Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. It is entitled, The Temptation of Jesus. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But he answered, It is written, One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He will command His angels. Concerning you, and on your hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, Again it is written, Do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Jesus said to him, Away with you, Satan, for it is written, Worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Everyone knows, or virtually everyone knows this scripture, because it's at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And in it, we see when people oftentimes think, well, Jesus couldn't have been tempted because he was the Son of God. I mean, there was nothing that Satan could give him. There was nothing that anyone else could give him that he couldn't already do or achieve by himself. But God did send him in the form of a man, a human, with human limitations. Now, he performs many, many miracles. But in this case, after he's been baptized by John, and after, at that baptism, the Holy Spirit, like a dove, descends upon him and says, This is my, and from a cloud, This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. So we have all three aspects of the triune, the Trinity, the Holy Trinity, there at once. The Holy Spirit, like a dove, and the voice of God saying, This is my beloved in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. Now he goes from there and he's tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. Now some people would say, well, it's the physical impossibility to exist without food and water for 40 nights and 40 days. You can argue that, but you know, when you get to heaven, you can argue that with Jesus. I know what the scripture says. I don't have any problem believing it. If the scriptures say it, then it was there. Now, there's another point to this, and that is in verse 1. There's a Greek word. It says that Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. All right. The Greek word is peirazo. Now, peirazo, it's a Greek verb, and it can be used both for test and tempt. And with a lot of both Greek and Hebrew words, the real meaning of the verb is within the context of the sentence. Most translators say, so I'm going to stick with this, it says, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. That was what was happening. He's led by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. Okay, I can believe that. The tempter then comes to him and said to him, now he's going to challenge him three times. The first one he says, If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But Jesus answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God." Jesus is faced with physical hunger and thirst, and he responds in a way to this tempter that is what? Scripture. These scriptures, all three of these replies come from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 6 and 8. So, again, as I say often, you know, there are a lot of people that say there's no relevance to the Old Testament because Jesus is here and the only thing we need is the New Testament. Excuse me. If that were so, then I don't think Jesus would be quoting the Old Testament as much as he does. Okay? So out of Deuteronomy 6, at chapters 6 through 8, he says, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God." It's not that he couldn't have made bread from those loaves. It's not that he feeds 5,000 with a little lad's lunch with 12 bushel baskets left over. You don't think he could have made, I don't know how good that bread would have tasted. I mean, stones, but it probably would have been pretty good bread. Maybe even better than the bread that Lee makes, because Jesus would have made it. That's the only reason. But he says what? But we're supposed to live. But every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. In other words, he's telling us we live by the word of God. The sign out there says gospel. The gospel is the good news. The gospel is the word of God. We know that Jesus Christ in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word was with God. And nothing was created without him. And that later, in that same chapter, the Word took on flesh and came and dwelt among us, Emmanuel. Jesus Christ is the embodiment of the Word of God. Well, the devil wasn't satisfied with it there, so he says, he takes him to the holy city. He takes him to Jerusalem and places him on a pinnacle of the temple. And he says, again, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." All of that is true. Satan knows the scriptures. The challenge is, you can know the Word of God, but you have to understand the context. You have to understand the intent. The intent was not to test God in that scripture. Because Jesus says, again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. You're not supposed to test him. It's like, how many of you have made promises? Lord, if you get me out of this, I'll do this, that, or another thing. You know, you're bargaining with him, right? Okay? Well, first off, just because God doesn't remove you from that trial doesn't mean that he doesn't have power over your life. Doesn't mean that he couldn't have taken you out. But maybe you should go through that trial and come out better on the other side. Don't test my Lord thy God. But again, remember, what did Satan do? He said, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God. Well, Jesus knows he's the Son of God. God has just told everybody else, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. If Jesus needed a reaffirmation or an affirmation, he had it then. So Satan's not done yet. There are a lot of things about threes, but Satan's just one persistent deceiver and liar. So the devil takes him to a very high mountain. Now, in this, where the mountain is, we have no idea, but it might be just an illusion in the sense that he takes him to a high place and shows him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor, and he says to him, all these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Well, Satan knows the Ten Commandments. You know what the first one is? To have no other God before me. But again, it's in Deuteronomy 6 and 8 where Jesus responds. And this is probably the most abrupt rebuke that Jesus gives to anyone, except maybe Peter. He says, Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. See, the first challenge was his hunger, a very real hunger. People that don't eat and drink anything for 40 days can easily expect to be hungry. Jesus has the ability to make from stones or anything else any food, any sustenance he wants, but God has put him in that wilderness for a reason, for a time, for a purpose, and he's willing to be obedient. Key one, we don't always know what the purpose is for where we are and what we're going through, but we have to have faith that he's going to be there with us and he's got a plan for us. Second piece, he's challenging his physical safety. He's saying, just leap down and God will save you. And Jesus responds, thou shalt not tempt thy Lord thy God. The physical safety, Jesus knows he could probably do this, but if he's on that temple, it's over 50 meters high. And if he's on the Kidron Valley, it's over 150 meters high. So he would easily dash himself down and be killed, unless the angels lift him up. But again, Jesus is looking at the purpose that God has for him, and it's not for him to leap down off the temple. To show whom? To show Satan that, yeah, the angels are going to come and deliver me. Duh, Satan knows it already. But he wants Jesus to respond. And how does Jesus respond? With the Word of God. The last is probably one that's weirdest of all, because Satan can't give him everything on earth because it all belongs to God anyway. But he says, all these I will give you if you fall down and worship me. This is the Son of God. This is Jesus the Christ. The one who is going to give himself up for all of us for the wages of sin. And now Satan is wanting him to violate the very first of the Ten Commandments, to have Satan as his God before God. Ain't gonna happen. And it causes Jesus to issue probably the most stinging and abrupt rebuke. And it demonstrates that Jesus has power over Satan, even himself, even though Satan is allowed to tempt. If you've read the book of Job, if you read through the book of Job, you know that Satan has been allowed to tempt people and put them through trials and tribulation. So he's been given that opportunity. But how does Jesus respond? He directs him to leave. He says, away with you, Satan. For it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. His loyalty is going to remain steadfast, and his purposes are focused on the Garden of Gethsemane and that cross on Golgotha and that tomb that'll be empty 3 days later and the resurrection and that second coming. Those are what Jesus Christ is focused on. Well, you think Satan stuck around to see if he could test or tempt him anymore? It says no. The devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited upon him. You know, there's another rebuke, almost as sting. And we covered it a little bit a couple of weeks ago. It's in Matthew chapter 16, where Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, and he's told his disciples that he's going to go to Jerusalem, he's going to be arrested, he's going to be tried, sentenced, and crucified, and on the third day he's going to be resurrected. Well, Peter, who is just verses before said, you are the Messiah, and Jesus has said, upon this rock-like faith, I will found my kingdom. Jesus quickly turns to Peter and he says, get thee behind me, Satan. Jesus does not deal with temptation with anything other than a very affirmative, a very powerful, a very certain faith in God's purpose for him. The night in Gethsemane, as he's praying, "Lord, if there be any way, if there be any way for this cup to pass, but not my will, thy will." You see the determination of Jesus in that 40 days and 40 nights, which is what we look at for Lent. 40 days and 40 nights where we're not asked to give up all food and to fast all the time, but to practice regular fasting. In other words, give up something, whether it's coffee or chocolate or cookies or cake or whatever, or do something special for someone in a Christian way. Pray, meditate, get in the Word, because the Word, the Gospel, that's what Jesus uses as his weapon against Satan. You kids went through the full armor of God, right? You know, the sword is the Word of God. The sword is the Word of God. Jesus rebuked him and sent him packing with Scripture, with faith. When you're put in those same circumstances and same situations, I can only tell you that trust in Jesus. Trust in the Word. You may not see where the outcome is going to be as beautiful or as wonderful as you want immediately, but have faith ultimately that God's answer will be there, and it's that He loves you and He's going to be with you throughout whatever it is. Ask Fran if there are miracles that happen. Ask Alan if there are miracles that happen. As I said, Betty Morris was a walking, talking miracle. When we got here 6 years ago, she was on hospice, and we lost her just last year. She was on hospice for over 4 years. Prayer counts for much. Stay in prayer, stay in the Word, stay connected, for Christ triumphs, and the Word of God is supreme. Shalom.